Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 11, which says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Now we've been looking at some issues of how the Apostle Paul has been speaking about wanting to go unto these saints at Thessalonica to make sure that they were staying true to the Word of God rightly divided, to the message that has been committed unto them by the Apostle Paul, the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, a belief in that and that alone which gives salvation, and also the information that follows that would edify individuals following the plan that God has laid out. And how, as part of this, He sent Timothy unto them to make sure that they were staying true to this message. And now He's talking about this whole issue of how there's a thing of looking at God, actually, as it says, direct our way unto you. So as part of this desire, there's a thing of that God is going to direct them as part of what their hope is in this, as they've been praying on this, is that God's going to actually influence what this plan is. Now, this is one of these things that does cause some problems for individuals, because they look at things and say, well, does that mean that God is causing this to happen? You know, everything that's going to happen in someone's life, you know, that idea of, you know, predestination that comes up, of that God has predetermined every event in someone's life. Now, the Scriptures do not say that God has predetermined everything in somebody's life. You know, the Scriptures talk about how man has a free will. Man can decide to, you know, for example, a person can decide whether they're going to accept the gospel message or not. You know, you see the Scriptures use those words, by chance, something happening. So there are the idea of that there are things that are going to happen. God does have a plan that's laid out, you know, before the foundation of the world. And I'm actually going to read that passage just over the Romans chapter number 16, because we see how Paul describes the message that had been given to him in verses 25 and 26 of Romans 16. "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." We see here that Paul identifying that the message that has been given unto him was kept secret, you know, that before the foundation of the world, before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the information that has been given to the Apostle Paul, the dispensation of the grace of God, this information, God had already come up with this plan. God already knew that there was going to be some information that was needed related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places. And He kept this plan secret and didn't reveal it. You know, so this is not a thing of where God reacted to man and just came up with something else because of man's failures. God already knew that this is what was going to happen. And that's when the scriptures talk about predestination. It's related to there's a plan that God has had overall that, yes, these things are going to occur. And that occurs because God knows everything that's going to happen. He doesn't cause the things to happen, but he knows that this is going to happen. That's why the book of Psalms, let's go over to Psalm 147 here, and we're going to see the author of this psalm is going to say something about the knowledge that God has here. And here in Psalm 147, we're going to read here verse number 5, which says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." This description of his understanding reflects the omniscience, which is the fact that God is all-knowing. God knows everything. Now, one of the things that man has done is man continuously tries to intervene in this and tries to limit what God has, you know, what God knows. And that's why you get the thought process that comes up, the open view theology, which we've talked about several times in these broadcasts. And the thought process behind this is that it teaches that God has a basic framework for how things are going to work out. He has no idea of any of the details and therefore could actually be shocked by something that occurs. So it's a thing of that God knows, okay, that this is the plan is going to be the reconciliation of the heaven and the earth. He knows the major details of how this is going to happen, but there are these small details, and what they feel are small details that God doesn't know, even though, you know, we just read here a verse that says his understanding is infinite. So God knows, God understands all these things. But again, just because he knows and understands these things doesn't mean that he's actually causing them to happen. So with this, the idea that we need to look at is, what does the Apostle Paul mean when he's really looking at this idea of directing our way unto you? You know, because why would Paul say something along these lines? And the issue is that the Word of God is what's really going to direct an individual to function according to what God intends. You know, and that's why when you starting here in the book of Thessalonians, if we turn back to chapter number 2, we see this description that the Apostle Paul gives of these individuals here in Thessalonica in verse number 13 of chapter 2. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So these individuals took what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were teaching them and took it as the word of God, which was going to have an impact on who they were. So they accepted every single thing that was coming from them and saying, yes, this is the word of God. We know that we have a completed Word of God. We know that when we take the Word of God and we apply the principle of study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we know that the doctrine that we have is found in the books of Romans through Philemon. So we know if we're going to find the information that we need that's going to direct how we're supposed to be living our life, then we know that we should be looking at information found in the books of Romans through Philemon. You know, it's not going to help us to be looking at things, for example, out of the Gospel of John and trying to pull that information out and say that this is what's going to direct, this is what's going to influence us, because the Gospel of John wasn't written to us. The books of Romans through Philemon are. So that's the information that's going to have that real impact on who we are. This is the impact that we see that Paul, let's turn over to Titus chapter number 2, to where you see this description of how Paul's going to use this information related to the doctrine and say that this is what's going to come about. When he says here, starting in verse number 11 of Titus 2, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So we see that here it's the grace of God that's going to, you know, not only has it appeared to all men, so all of mankind, he has the ability to receive salvation. It's the grace of God that's going to teach us those things. It's the grace of God that teaches us how to, it says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the grace of God teaches us, here are things that you should not be doing. Here's the things that God does not want you to do as a member of the body of Christ. And also, it's the grace of God that's going to teach us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, having said that, you know, the grace of God teaches us those things. It doesn't force us to do these things. You know, the consequence of if we make a mistake is that we commit that sin. That's the whatsoever is not of faith. And we build the wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. We impact the ability that we would have to rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. You know, we don't build a sin upon our account that would cause us to possibly lose that fellowship with God, because there is no sin that a person can commit that would cause that, because it's impossible for us to commit that sin. We've been made free from that sin because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. That is such good news. And if individuals truly understood that fact, it would relieve a lot of the anxiety and stress that people have thinking about the fact that they could lose their salvation or all these other things that they start worrying about, and instead just start focusing on living the life that God actually intends. Let's turn over here to the book of Philemon, and we're going to see here a verse here out of the book of Philemon that actually, again, starts to talk about some of these things here. We're going to read verse number 6 of Philemon. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, everything that is good in us is in Christ. You know, there is nothing of us that could be considered good in the eyes of God. And that communication of the faith, that's not only the words that are being spoken, it's everything in the individual's lifestyle that should be reflected of what is true of who we are in Christ. That's why you see when Paul talks about those things of the practical outworking, that it's Christ living in us and through us that causes these things to happen. That's why you read a verse like, you know, quickly go over to Galatians chapter number 2 and read here verse number 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we live, it should be a thing of that it's the faith of the Son of God is thing because it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. You know, that's how we're demonstrating all these things. That's how we're showing that communication of our faith. That's how we're demonstrating the fact of that the Word is teaching us those things. That's how we're demonstrating the fact when Paul's saying that he wants the Lord to lead him in these things. That's why we see the Apostle Paul make a reference here. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. We're going to turn to Philippians chapter number 2, to where he's going to describe what our responsibility is here. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15 that says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So our responsibility is that we would shine as lights. So everything about us should be reflecting and showing forth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We should be allowing him to work in us and through us in order to demonstrate this to the world. And it doesn't take very long to look at the world and see how the way that Paul describes it here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 is truly the accurate way of describing when he calls it a crooked and perverse nation. Because when things are being done outside of the Word of God, and it's all related to what man thinks, the only way to describe what man thinks is to call it a crooked and perverse nation. And that's no matter how good an individual thinks that they are, that even human good, if it's being done outside of God, that God gets no pleasure in the things of what a man does. So even those things of, yes, some would think, well, I'm doing all these good things, and it's me, that's part of that crooked and perverse nation. That's why you see the description that Paul gives. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And Paul's giving this here in the book of Ephesians after he spent the first three chapters of the book laying out doctrinal information. So giving these saints at Ephesus, here's all of this information that you need. That's, you know, this is what's going to really be needed for your life. And then says, okay, now that you understand these things, now I'm going to lay out how this doctrine should actually be working out in you. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 22 through 24. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the believer is being instructed that our responsibility is that there are things that we need to put off in our life, and those things are, you know, we're to be putting off the things concerning the former conversation, the old man. So we're to be putting off the things of the flesh. You know, and when we says put off, that means that all of those things, you know, are being put away from us. That way it has no impact on who we truly are. And as we put off those things, we're to be putting on, it says, that ye put on the new man. So we're to be getting rid of the things of the flesh that influence us, and we're to be putting on the things of the new man, putting on the things of the doctrinal information that's been given to us in Romans through Philemon. Now, that sounds so simple to say that just, you know, put off all the things of the flesh, but the reality is that we walk around in a fleshly body. The flesh has lusts, and the flesh is going to try to keep us away from the things of God. And the flesh has these desires that's going to pull us away. And that's why Paul, you see how Paul keeps bringing up this idea of, you know, to make sure that we're doing these things. You know, in, you see it in the book of Romans. You see it, you know, we saw it in Ephesians. We saw it in Thessalonians. We saw it in, you know, Titus. You know, that Paul just has to keep bringing this idea up because it is a struggle that all members of the body of Christ have. And individuals try to put, well, I'm in the flesh. We can't be in the flesh, because if we were in the flesh, then we couldn't please God and we'd be separated from who he is, which means that we would have lost our salvation. But we can be influenced by the flesh. We can give in to the lust of the flesh. And that's why you see how Paul, we saying things about, you know, wanting to make sure that it's God directing them to do these things, to make sure that they're doing the things that are pleasing to what the doctrine actually says. Now, next week, we're going to actually start verse number 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's being broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.